It's not because I'm not turned it on, but it just doesn't work.
Okay.
And sometimes you can turn me on, John.
Sure. Let me, right now you're the main video on the screen. Let's see, hold on. Let me see. Oh, now you're gone. Where are you?
I'm here. I'm on the top corner.
Hold on for 1 second. I'm trying to find you. There you are. Here we go. Elizabeth asked to start video. There we go. You should be. Did it start now? There you are.
There you are.
She is. Yeah.
Good, good. Good. Good.
Andrew, the top of your head is kind of cut off.
Am I? Okay. How's that?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay, good.
And we got somebody new here. Paul?
Yes. How are you?
Hello, hello.
How do you say your name?
Paul.
Okay. Sounds normal.
Yeah, it was my mother actually wrote it incorrectly when I was born. They say, of course, there are no bodies here. I'm tuned with all the information you guys have been disseminating. So good for you guys, you know. So, but what I've been told is my mother's the idea was for it to be like Paul McCartney. But, I was like about 12 pounds, so that must have changed her writing skills, and she put P-O. Have that.
It's stuck, huh?
It's a pleasure, John. It's a pleasure, Guruji. It's a pleasure to be here, without a doubt. I'll be in the background. I just got here. I'll pay attention.
Sorry you had to go through life explaining your name.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It made it easier to get rid of it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But it's my point of consciousness. So whenever you guys need to find me, you can just holler that name. And I'm there. You know? Boom.
Did we get any questions from the web?
Only one about taking mantra. Someone wrote in and they said that they've been doing a Soham mantra for a while. They'd like to take the lineage mantra. They were inquiring as to who would be able to do that. We've spoken about that before on the YouTube, that after COVID and such, maybe we'll get together, and if people desire this, we can see what we can do.
Which could be a long time, actually.
Well, I mean, I don't know whenever it happens. Yeah. So. But it's something that, you know, has been spoken about before. So, yes, you know, we'll see if it happens to happen, then we'll see.
I thought of something funny. What would the obituary for a selfless self be? Nothing.
Nothing died.
Nothing died.
Or it could be nothing was born and nothing died.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Timeless.
That's a good thing for your gravestone, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to think ahead.
Yeah.
The second thing is that there's no one left to read it, neither, you know? Incredible.
Yeah. You know, one big zero.
Zero.
But there has to be somebody to say there's nothing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to one of the things I was thinking about today, I was that philosophical statement or question, does a tree that falls in the forest make a sound? And I used to think, well, definitely, yeah, of course. How could it be even questioned? But then now I have, it's coming to me that there could not even be the concept or the imagination of that tree, because that tree that you're imagining falls in the forest is just an imaginary tree. It's not what you would normally think of as a real tree, if there is any real trees. But for a tree, imaginary tree to be there, and for a sound to be there, there has to be something that is not the tree or the sound in the first place. And I'm starting to get a feel for what that might be. And I guess maybe I've always had a feeling for what it might be, but not, or whatever. But I guess that made me think about, I asked about in Das Boot, it's in one sentence, it spoke of the form of the self. And would that be like what's left when nothing else is real? It's like that which is there in the first place, but is nothing that appears within it.
Discard everything that can be seen, everything that could be known, and what can't be discarded, that's all there is.
Yeah, yeah.
You just remain with your selfless self.
Yeah.
That's it. Going down philosophical rabbit holes won't do anything but just feed the mind.
Right.
You know, like fast food of snacks.
But the
mind pulls up the easy chair and sits down and starts eating popcorn, and then it wants Cracker Jacks, and then it wants Milky Way, and it just sits. So,
but then again, that when I asked that question, and then it seemed like recognizing that the tree is imaginary, and then the sound is imaginary, and everything is imaginary except that which makes it possible to have the imagination. Somehow it sort of clicks and helped me to recognize what is there, what is here, that is nothing else. Somehow asking that question. So I guess that's sort of maybe the value of the who am I inquiry is eventually. Well,
there's no value to the who am I inquiry unless you believe yourself to be a body that can ask who am I. No. Prior to asking the question, you are. So who am I should be the answer to that response, or the response to that should be silent, should be a quietude, should be that black hole that's spoken about, that just kind of, it removes all question, removes all doubt, removes all everything, because there's nothing other than this. And then you say the entire world appears on this spontaneous presence. Take presence away from the body, you have a dead body, five elemental goo. But the presence wasn't born. The presence didn't die.
Does the presence come to let other lights through, like a cathedral, or is it just, it is like prior to beingness, that unknowing state where there can be nothing wrong if there's nothing known?
Presence is in everything. It is the background that to whom this sense of existence has appeared was there for the sense of existence to appear. The existence without knowing existence. Once existence is known, then the concept of duality is born. Mm-hmm. So this body is appearing within your own self. then the presence within the body is acting and moving and doing all this, but the presence within the body, outside the body, around is all there is. You come into contact with yourself and you remain. Without the body, you don't know you are, but you are. Once you know you are, then so many other things are known, because you create the knowingness. Instead of no knowingness, you have knowingness, but it's one and the same. There's nothing to know because there's nothing other than yourself. Now there's something to know, which is I exist. Well, of course you exist, but now you know this sense of existence. And then immediately a dream waking world is projected. The same as sleeping in the body at night, laying down. Sense of I exist and a dream world is projected. And then you see yourself within this dream world and experience this dream and see everything. But then you wake up and you say, oh, just a dream. You know that that came from the formlessness. That formlessness somehow created all of this form. And yet it did it formlessly. Because you know this when you wake up. Oh, that was just a dream. Whether it be a very great dream or a very bad dream. And like Maharaj says, someone's video shooting all this dream. Because you wake up in the morning, you say, oh, I had a very good dream. And in truth, you don't really wake up because you're not waking or sleeping. If that you are slept, then how would this waking happen? You wake up and you know, then I am awake. But that's only because of identification with the body form that's going to sleep and waking up. But the consciousness in which all of this, the presence, the I exist, the I am, all of this is being created in that, whether you're imagining yourself sleeping or imagining yourself waking, whatever little dream body you're using in either waking or dream, that's how you're experiencing that dream.
Usually, when I'm contemplating this stuff, I think of everything that I see or that I can see or experience is some kind of a limit or limitation. But I guess it's turning out that even what I'm calling a limit or a limitation is also me. Or that which is no other than, I don't know.
Everything you've ever known, everything you've ever experienced, all knowledge, all relations, everything came along with the body, and you're not body. So all these are pretty much meaningless. That's why you remain with yourself, the self. All this world is discarded because, and it's not a needing as a discarding that has to be done by someone. It naturally dissolves as you remain with your selfless self. Mm-hmm. And then, like Maharaj says, you do your job, do your duties, take care of all your family responsibilities, but you absolutely know that your mom is you, dad is you, all these children are you. The family is nothing more than a goo factory with man, woman getting together and creating goo and boom, a label goes on it. And then they're speaking and such. And we're saying, oh, this little body is labeled so-and-so is speaking. But it's all one.
There's nothing at stake.
Yeah, it's a it's like the space in the room is animated. This is a dead body just sitting. The space in the room makes this body open the eyes and looks around and says, I am in a room. But that's only because of identification of the first time I know of my existence in a body form in a world. Oh, I'm in a room, but I'm not in a room. I'm the space in the room that is misidentified with an object within the room as myself.
I know we don't talk politics here, but I was wondering about talking about politics. I do occasionally get in conversations with people about politics, and I guess I'm starting to lose interest in defending positions, though. So maybe I should express that to the person that wants to get an opinion out of me or something, wants to get me to defend a particular side of a point of view, just tell them I'm no longer interested in that approach or something.
I don't know. I think Maharaj gave the good example of when this person was touring around and they went out with this guy and they said, Soul, what's this temple over here? I don't know. Oh, what's this over here? I don't know. Oh, what's that over there? I don't know. And that was their tour guide. Because it was, I don't know anything. I don't know what these, you're asking me, what is this? I don't know. These are all appearances. And if I am not, then nothing is. Only when I take a position of myself as something do I see some things, or do I see people formlessly aware of just here and the spontaneous speaking in the moment, whatever is needed, but there's no speaking. And no matter how, quote, personal it may seem, it's just the same as picking up the water, drinking it, and putting it down. We talked about this. I'll tell you something that happened to me this week that actually I remained with mantra for a moment because it was slightly disturbing. My place where I work said I had to delete the WhatsApp, the little application that I've been using since 2015 that Maharaj had me go into that group so that I could kind of keep up and keep in contact with my spiritual family, as he put it, in India. And every day they would post little things, or I would go and do my readings and post little things. And it was a constant communication, a family, basically. And here's my work saying, you can no longer do this because we need you to delete this application. It violates security policy. And now, from a person, that would be a horrifying thing. Like, oh my God, like this is a, but instead Master has told me when there are things that come up like this, a great loss, basically, you remain, listen to the mantra running, observe yourself doing what needs to be done and deleting this application. There is no choice. It's only if a mind flow says, oh, I don't want to do this, no choice. So deleting, and then bowing to the master and thanking the master. Yes, thank you, my master. This needed to be done. It was done.
So the body has a reaction of its own, and then you just get past it.
This is a reaction, and it is, it's something that's, not allowed to grow, you know, it's just something, it needs to be done. But yeah, it's like, wow, you know, WhatsApp. These are how I get the backgrounds and everything. That's why I put this background. This was Maharaj when I had this picture on my wall before I went to see him in India. And so I put that there. I don't know. It just happened to be the picture of the week. But it that the WhatsApp was where, you know, I got a lot of spiritual things from Maharaj. And of course, Maharaj is no longer in the body, so that's not an issue. But a lot of the devotees and keeping up with the devotees, keeping up with the ashram on a day-to-day basis, exchanging images, exchanging spiritual speeches, and it's gone now.
You can't do that at home?
Pardon me?
You can't do that at home? That was on the work computer or something?
No, on the work phone.
Oh.
Like I said, in 2015, I joined this WhatsApp group. And they'll do like bhajan or, you know, when somebody reads Das Bodh, especially Bapu, when he's reading Das Bodh, or not, you know, the singing of the Das Bodh. Just a lot of things. So it's finished now. And that also happened with Facebook. Right after the whole Maharaj USA and everything was getting going, and we had a lot of people, and I was very, very much involved in that. And then all of a sudden Facebook says, oh, your account's been hacked and we need you to verify your ID and all this kind of stuff. And I said, no, enough of this. And that was also kind of a loss, but it was not felt because there wasn't anything created of, I am losing something. Yes, it's a momentary like, oh, but again, these things are going to, like Maharaj says, the test of your spiritual knowledge. Your spiritual knowledge is remaining with yourself, the self, and observing that these things are dissolving without a need for you to get rid of them and without a need for you to hold on to them. They just dissolve because you remain with your selfless self.
Those are kind of like momentary incidents that are sort of like, you stop the Facebook thing and then it's finished. But then you have other situations like physical or emotional pain that seem to be carrying on. They're a little bit harder to let go of, it seems to me.
Everything is pick up the water, drink it, put it down. And when it's not like that, I remain with mantra. Mantra will erase those illusory concepts slowly, silently, and permanently so that you can be with your own self and not get carried out into the world. Same when Maharaj left the body. When I was on the WhatsApp chat and they said, Maharaj is very sick, and I was communicating with people, and this person said, John, I'll put a log on the pyre for you and you know, blessings. And we were with Maharaj and then he left the body. And it was, again, it was a pain because it was like, ooh, you know, this was my master. And of course, master is formless master. Master is presence. There's no separation. But within this body-based existence, there was a loss of like a father almost, because Maharaj took such great care of me when I had the food poisoning in India. And we, you know, it was a loss. And again, mantra. And through mantra, then the understanding again deepened very much of, it's not presence that has left the body. It's the presence is no longer speaking through that particular form, is no longer using that particular form to speak or to convey this, but the presence hasn't gone anywhere. Nothing lost, nothing gained. It's And all you have to do is remain with yourself, the self, and you'll see this. You'll see. All these things dissolve without you having to renounce them or become a renouncer. If I become a renouncer, then I take the identification of someone renouncing something, which means it's kind of a double negative, because then, of course, I believe there's something to renounce and I believe there's someone to renounce it. But remaining with selfless self dissolves everything. Nothing is there. No experience, no experiencer, no concept of body, no concept of mind. Deeper, deeper, deeper within you, selfless self.
It's like the image that Jesus used with the, you know, the camel passing through the eye of a needle. To get through, you basically have to discard absolutely everything. Body, mind.
Absolutely. Well, that's why he speaks about the rich man is going to have a hard time getting into heaven because of all his possessions. First, he has to get rid of all his possessions, the attachment to the possessions. Then he has to get rid of the attachment to himself, having all his possessions. Yeah. So it's like layers of layers of layers of illusion on top.
I know.
Material and rich thoughts.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You get nowhere with that.
Indeed. So,
well said, well said. Mm-hmm. Oh.
John, are you kind of saying, like, for you, the mantra comes up kind of in moments of stress for that, like, body, you know, speaking from that body-based illusion? And it's not running, or is it running for you all the time? I get kind of confused on that point.
Mm. The natural listening, you know, mantra is running, is you're breathing in and out. It's basically, you know, it's continuously there. And the listener is formless. So the listener is listening to the mantra running through the body. Now, when something happens, so to speak, and there's an impression, before you take impression of this, the mantra again reminds you, as Maharaj would say, refreshing your memories. And you just, as you're breathing, because it's only the beginning, the mind flow is what you, if you flow along with it, of this is happening. And taking the touch of this thing happening, and then how do I feel about this thing happening, and all of that. But those are all the illusory layers that are basically hovering over presence. So you remain with presence by listening to the mantra. And because listener is formless, it automatically dissolves anything having to do with body. There's nothing. Fire's burning bright, presence burning very bright underneath the layers of illusory thought. And like the spiritual broom, like Maharaj says, you're just, the door is open, some leaves have started to come into the floor, you sweep them away, and that's that. Or as they use the example of the chariot, you know, the horses start to buck just a little bit. You pull them in. You pull in. No. Not taking the touch of these thoughts. But not also taking the position of not taking the touch of these thoughts. Because Master said to erase any illusory thoughts, to erase illusion, the antivirus software is given. Mantra, So you just listen.
It could easily turn into a blame game, blame yourself for taking the touch, but that's just more of the same,
That's why, yeah, that's why there's no trying to figure it out. Like some spiritual teachings will say, who's feeling this, or who's affected by this, or who's doing that? And that will lead the mind again into the easy chair with popcorn, Cracker Jacks, desiring chocolate. But you remain with your selfless self, and the illusory layers dissolve on their own. Because again, that selfless self, that sense of presence, it sucks in everything. It is like a black hole that's just collapsing everything. And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The attention is paid to this, and then attention is released because the concept of a meditator meditating or a concentrator concentrating dissolves within the concentration or the meditation, whichever which way you like to speak about it.
Yeah, well, my mind will say, well, I want to win by losing, but there's no winner either.
Well, see, my mind came along with the body. The mind can only produce thoughts about the body-based existence, which you know is illusion because you're formless. So mind, it can't really play tricks with you anymore because everything that it is feeding you are experiences that it knows through the body-based illusion, but you're not body. So prior to body, there were none of these experiences that the mind is trying to produce and present to you through a thought flow of something is happening. No, nothing's happening. I remain with my selfless self.
Can I say something, John?
Yes, please.
Just for our other friend, like with respect to the mantra, I focused a lot. This body has focused. It has practically turned into a power object. It itself has become this mantra. So let's just use numbers, just since we're here in these bodies. 24 hours a day, my mantra is going on. It's basically idling like a car. But in those moments that you speak about, where even the mantra starts to become subtle, I turn it up with a different mantra, a more powerful room, you know, and I use nisarga data, just to differentiate from the usual 24-hour mantra. And the one thing I wanted to say to our friend is, I've noticed that prana is responsible for our thoughts. So what I do with the inhale is use half of my mantra, with the exhale, the other half. And I realize that no thoughts ever arise. And when they do arise, that means my mantra has stopped. And that's when I become this analyzer. Oh, what happened? What stopped it? And I return, like Guruji Jan says, back to the mantra, back to them. And I forget totally about whatever concept interrupted me. Sorry for intervening. Just wanted to say that.
I think it's good.
Mantra, you know. Oh. If we could express the reason that we're all here, it would be marvelous, you know, but it's so impossible, you know. And I'm glad to be around people like that have all found the me in them, you know. I'm glad to see you all around, you know, no doubt.
Just, well, from my personal perspective, what you just said, I wonder how that compares to what John's, when he says he turns up the heat of the mantra.
No, it's not. I turn up the heat. The natural course is, as you remain with your selfless self, at least in my experience, the universal kind of existence turns up the heat. As soon as you say, like, oh, I'm remaining, this is this, I'm good, this is this, then something happens and a personalization sort of starts to burn very strongly. I mentioned about the gold in India, about going and having hot showers and cold showers and this and that. These are things that are turning up the heat. Or like the meal, you know, when I've been eating the vegetables for a long time and all this kind of stuff, and I was just like, oh, I'm done with this. It turns up the heat. It's like one devotee in the ashram spoke about it very nicely, how it's like a cork that's plugged and it keeps building. And in that sense, that's when, because there is that, I'm taking the touch of attention needs to be on mantra. And yes, mantra is always there running, and it just sweeps. But when I say turning up the heat, you will turn up the heat in your experience, because again, God is a jealous God, as it's spoken about. So if I'm paying attention to the things around me more than I am my own selfless self, then there's going to be conflict within, because I'm like, I am remaining with this selfless self. But the more that, again, this is dissolved, all the illusory layers are dissolved, then there's no need for anything. But turning up the heat, yeah, in your own experience, in the illusory experience, because the way you perceive the world is through your own concepts. So the thoughts, ideas, and beliefs that you have about yourself and how you're identifying yourself is how you will react to this thought flow that's presented to you. And if you believe you're a body in a world, then that pain and pleasure principle is going to happen, because I don't want these bad things happening to me. And yet I really want good things to happen to me. But as your formlessness is more and more and more realized, then nothing good, nothing bad. The body may be experiencing something. Maybe you're sitting and suddenly you feel depression, but you don't go into why am I depressed or I'm feeling this sense of depression or anything, because it's a five elemental body. There's a disturbance in the five elemental body. There's a disturbance in the five elements. I witness that every time there's a thunderstorm. Oh, there's a disturbance in the five elements. Wind, rain, water, flooding. This is a disturbance in the five elements. So, sadness, depression, something happening. Okay, I don't take the touch. It's a disturbance in the five elements. And again, that's where the neighbor's child comes in. I am not this body. Prior to the spirit clicking with the body, I did not feel any of these things. Therefore, all these feelings came along with the body. I'm nothing more than the power that's supplying the ability to feel.
I think the power is going to go out in a second.
Yeah, speaking.
The power is going to go out?
Yeah, the power.
The Zoom power.
Oh, yeah, we are. Yes. We're headed to the 1 minute mark, indeed.
Thanks for heads up there.
Jaguru. Thank you.
Jaguru. Thank you.
Thank you.
One love, Jaguru.